The message today is about dangerous guides. Luke chapter 6, first of all, starting at verse 39. I've been speaking to you on Jesus' little parables. Here is another one. Listen to how small it is. 6:39 of Luke. And he spake also a parable unto them. Can the blind guide the blind? Shall they not both fall into a pit? And this is what it literally says. Can a blind one guide a blind one? Shall they not both fall into a pit? Now, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 13. Our Savior answers and says, every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit. Now, chapter 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye shut the kingdom of heaven against men. For you enter not in yourselves, neither allow ye them that are entering in to enter. Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides, that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that hath sanctified the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gift that is upon the altar, he is a debtor. Ye blind, for which is greater, the gift of the altar that sanctifieth the gift? He therefore that sweareth by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And he that sweareth by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that sweareth by the heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. But these ye ought to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Ye blind guides, that strain at the gnat and swallow the camel. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that words such as the ones that we've read proceeding from the lips of thy Son seem somewhat strange, but we understand that there is holiness and righteousness about him, as well as love and compassion. We pray that we shall never forget this, that we shall never in our folly come to him determined to remain in our folly and expect to hear words of compassion. But let us understand that, as his enemies said concerning him, Rabbi, we know that you are no respecter of persons. You regard not any man. We are so thankful for that, our Father. No man regarded by thy Son, but all men are looked upon as needing salvation, and as humbling themselves, you are willing to impart salvation to them. We thank you for this. So from the words that we have read concerning thy Son, we pray that we shall at least have intelligence enough to understand this ever so small a parable spoken by thy Son. You know it and all that's related to it, the important lessons contained, and we desire to learn them. So cleanse our hearts from sin. We confess, and you promise if we do, to forgive and cleanse. And Father, what can we do without the empowering of thy Spirit? And who here can understand except thy Spirit illumine? So for all things that are necessary for understanding and profit and the glorifying of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for these things we pray, and in his name, Amen. Our Lord's life was constantly filled with blind men. Physically blind and spiritually blind. And some of the ones that were blind knew they were blind, and others that were blind did not know they were blind or would not acknowledge they were blind. One of the best ways to get a blessing from God is to acknowledge what you are. Last week, he taught a similar lesson. There were those people there pretending to be righteous and healthy and above reproach. And the Lord Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That was the brief parable, the little parable, last week. This week, it is the parable, can the blind guide the blind? Shall they not both fall into a pit? That's simple enough. So it speaks about blind guiding the blind. And because it is a parable, it means that they are not physically blind, but like unto physically blind, spiritually blind. So what we have is this. The parable simply is, can you take a man who spiritually lacks comprehension, understanding, lacks light on a subject, and expect him to guide other people who are ignorant and lack light on the subject? You say, it is impossible. The blind, can they guide the blind? Why, of course not. And the error into which they fall is described as a pit. So the Savior looks upon all teachers in the world as guides. And if they are illumined with the light of heaven, and if they preach to men the truth of God's word, then they are guides with eyes. But no matter what their degree of wisdom is, if they have not this word, and if they believe not this word, and preach not this word, our Savior says, they are blind guides. Now think of that. I venture to say that if I went to apply for a position at a denomination, and among the credentials I could give, I would tell them, I believe this book implicitly, and I intend to preach only what is there. Those are my main qualifications. I've been blessed in the past by an understanding of this book, and I intend to take what understanding I have of this book and teach it to you. Do you think I would get the position? Alas, I know I would not get the position. Because in this town now, there are people fighting, saying that this is not the infallible will of God. This book is with errors. And therefore, if I went and told them, I believe that this book is without error, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, they would dismiss me. Why? Because they would think that I was blind and that they see. But if a wise man in their estimation came along and said, I understand about this book. I'm able to detect what Jesus said and what he did not say, and what Moses wrote and what he did not write. I know what is of man and what is not of God, I can tell you these things. They would say, you are the one we want. Come in. And alas, what would happen is this. They would hire to themselves a blind guide, and it was intentional, and they want that guide, and if that happened, then the blind would be guiding the blind, and they would both fall into a pit. It's just that simple. The only man who can guide blind people is a man with eyes. And no matter how vehemently he tells you he has eyes, if you look at him and see empty sockets in his head, you know that he doesn't have eyes. And in like manner, as Christ said, I am the light of the world, and the entrance of thy word giveth light, the only man who can say, I am a guide who sees is one who has been illumined by the Spirit of God, and the only one who can impart light into your life is one who will teach you the contents of this book. It is just that simple. And yet, the world would set aside those who have light and who intend to teach light, and they will keep to themselves guides who are blind. And let us think of what Christ says, the question he asks. He says, can the blind guide the blind? You say, no. If the blind guide the blind, shall they not both fall into a pit? You say, yes. So how is it that men can grasp the simplicity and the teaching of that parable, and yet they cannot apply it to their lives spiritually? Here is a man that's blind. All right. Would you take a blind man and shut your eyes and let him take you by the hand and go up to Ash Street and let him take you across Ash Street with all that traffic that's whizzing by? You would say to me, are you out of your mind? I'm asking you that question. You say, of course I wouldn't. Why? Because you not only need a man that can see, but you need a man that can figure just when there is a break in the traffic, or else he would get you killed in taking you across that street. Nobody would take hold of a blind man and say, take me across Ash Street. Of course not. Nobody in his right mind. But what happens is this. Whereas it's a small thing to ask a blind man to take you across Ash Street in comparison to asking a blind man to take you safely to heaven. You don't see the danger. You say, what danger? I told you that this was a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Shall they not both fall into a pit? You say, yes. Well then, if this is not a physically blind person, but a spiritually blind person, then he's in need of God's light. He's lost. And if a lost person guides a lost person, and they both fall into the pit, what do you think that pit is? You say, oh God, that pit is the bottomless pit. The pit of the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. That's the horror of this parable that seems so unimportant, so insignificant. So, if a blind man tried to take me across the street and an automobile hit me and my arm and leg were broken, well, that is a small matter. You say, why, that's an important matter. I see. But to hire a blind man to guide you to heaven, and he guides you to the bottomless pit, that is an important, a less important matter, an unimportant matter? You say, no. Of necessity, if there is a heaven and there is a way to heaven, then the most important thing on earth is making sure that the man that is guiding you is a man that has sight. That's fine. Now, if there are blind people and a man with sight is there, he watches the light, and when it turns green, he looks carefully and he says, now, come across. And they are taken across safely. And this is what God does. God sends people with vision, and these with vision tell those that are blind the way to safety, and if they follow, they do not fall into the pit, but they get safely to their desired haven, the destination that God set before us, his own dwelling place. So think now of that parable again. Can the blind guide the blind? The answer, no. Shall they not both fall into a pit? The answer is yes. Well then, what should a man do if he discovers that the one who is leading him is a blind man? You say he should seek out one who has eyes and let that man with eyes guide him. Why, of course, it is just that simple. And this is what the Savior is saying. Yet the world is filled with those that are blind, and they're guiding blind, and inevitably they will fall into a pit. Now, in one sense, it's humorous. Let me give you a story, because something like this happened among mean little boys. If you've ever played Follow the Leader, and you were down at the old swimming hole, and you have a gang of boys, and we say, now we're going to play Follow the Leader. And so the fellow that's doing the leading, he puts on a blindfold, and all the others put on a blindfold, but the leader has it so he can see, and everybody knows that. And so all of us young fellows are holding on, the one hand behind another, and we're walking along. He said, just follow me, all is well. Walk along, keep on now, keep on. And then the leader goes and steps to the side, and all of us little fellows would fall into the water and scream and crash and jump all around. And then it was ever so funny, because we were just boys playing. But they were blind leading the blind. Now, I wouldn't trust them. I would be looking out of my blindfold as well before I followed somebody along a course like that. But what happens is that in the world, they don't mistrust anybody that is in a position of leadership. But even the Apostle Paul was to be tested. It says the Bereans were noble because when Paul preached, they searched the scriptures daily whether the things that Paul said were so. Now that's commendable. Here is a group of people that is determined to have a man that has sight to guide them. And when that man has sight, and the only way you know a man has sight is to test what he says with the Word of God. And if what he says is in harmony with the Word of God, then rejoice, you have a guide that has eyes and is not blind. And that guide, a faithful servant of God, will lead you into the presence of your God and Father safely. He's the only one to trust. All right, let me tell you a little bit now about the parable. And no less than three times that Christ refers to that parable. First of all, he asks the question. Then he answers the question. Then he illustrates the parable. Listen. In Luke 6, he says, can the blind guide the blind? Shall they not both fall into a pit? You see, that's a question. But in Luke 15, he uses that same parable when the disciples come to him and say, did you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you said? The Savior said, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and they shall both fall into a pit. You say, he doesn't ask a question there. He answers the question. Yes, and he also illustrates his parable. You say, how? Notice. He says, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and they shall both fall into the pit. He didn't ask a question there, but he answered the question. He said, the blind are guiding the blind, and they will both fall into a pit. He's telling them what happened. He asked, can a blind person guide a blind person? Shall they not both fall into the pit? In Matthew 15, he says, they are blind guides, and they shall both fall into a pit. he answers that question. But he also illustrates what he means by blind guides. The disciples come and say, "The Pharisees were offended with what you said." And the Savior said, "These Pharisees are blind guides." Do you see how important that is? He tells us the meaning of the parable. He says, "The blind guides are these Pharisees." And who are they? It says, "The Pharisees sit on Moses' seat." And you come to them, and they interpret the law. And as long as they tell you the interpretation according to the word, the Savior says, "Do it." He says, however, watch them. Because they are the ones who tell you what to do, but they will not do what they tell you to do. And not only are they that way, but they're also hypocrites as well. And they are blind guides as well. So now notice, the Savior has told us that these Pharisees are blind guides. And then when I read to you in Matthew chapter 23, again and again and again, he said, "You are blind guides of the blind." He called them fools and blind. And what kind of people is he talking about? He is talking about those who have eyes that are as good as yours and mine, but they have no understanding of the scriptures. They are in darkness when it comes to interpreting the content of this book. And the Savior says, they are blind guides of the blind. So this is ever so helpful, that the Lord Jesus tells us that there are those in prominent positions, and he says they are blind, and they are guides of the blind. Now, just as last week, there were those who considered themselves righteous, and therefore they would never submit to Christ healing them spiritually. And the Savior said to them, "Why, the people that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, indeed. And blind people need no recovering of sight." People that can see need no recovering of sight, but blind people need recovering of sight. And therefore, if a man says, "I see," he will never submit to the Savior for the opening of his eyes. And I want to tell you about this class of Pharisee who refused to acknowledge his blindness. Listen to what they say. I'll give you a contrast. When blind Bartimaeus was brought to the Lord Jesus, he said to him, "What do you want me to do to you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Don't you see that the man has confessed that he's blind? And he says, "Lord, I want you to give me my sight." But in John chapter 9, Christ having healed a physically blind man, he's talking to the Pharisees, and they gather from what he says that the Lord does not believe that they have spiritual sight. And they say to him, "Are we also blind?" Now isn't that strange? That Bartimaeus knew that he was blind, and he said to Jesus, "That I may receive my sight," and he received his sight. And those that were spiritually blind came to Jesus and said, "Are we blind?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Your sin remaineth." Notice, last week there were those who said, "We are well. We have no need of a physician." The Lord Jesus said, "That's right." And this week they say, "We see." And the Lord Jesus said, "Well then, you don't have any need of a man to give you sight." And so until a man acknowledges that he is without strength, that physically he needs the healing power of Christ, until a man knows that he is blind and must have the Savior to touch his eyes to heal them, then that man will remain in his blindness. And this is what it says. Listen to them boast in Romans chapter 2. Paul says, "You are confident that you are a guide of the blind." Do you see? The ones that Jesus says they are blind guides, it says in Romans 2, "You are confident that you are a guide of the blind." And so it speaks of others who desire to be teachers of the law, though they neither understand what they say, nor whereof they confidently affirm. And the Lord Jesus is calling aside and says, "Do you see those teachers?" "Yes." He says, "They're blind. And if you follow them, you're going to fall into the pit." And so the warning has been given by the Savior. You make sure that a man who is telling you the way to heaven has light from this book. Because if not, that man is blind. And it is a miracle if you have someone who has sight to guide you in the teachings of this book and in the way to heaven for this reason. There is no man who is born into this world with spiritual sight. We are all born blind. But by God's grace, He is able to shine upon the eyes of blind men. And when God shines, they can see, they can understand. And if they will see and understand and say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I am the sinner and you are the Savior," then their blindness is dispelled forever. Thank God for that. But for a person who is blind, as the scripture says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Some of them, when they see the truth concerning sinful man and Christ is the only Savior, they shut their eyes. They love darkness rather than light. And that condition in which they were born by nature, they remain in that condition until the day that they die. But remember this, that throughout a man's life, the Bible constantly speaks of his ability to see. This is what is so remarkable, that though a man is born blind, when God shines upon him, he's able to see. I'll show you why. If a man is blind, you have to worry about what he can see and putting his eyes out? You say no. Well then, if man can't see, why does Satan, the god of this world, blind the minds of the unbelieving? You say, because if he doesn't blind them, they're going to see and they'll believe and be saved. I understand. Then, even though we're born blind, when the light of God shines upon man, then it's the work of Satan to blind him whom God is seeking to give sight. And the Bible says, Satan, the god of this world, hath blinded. And for that reason, there are those who are blind that when light shines, they're able to see. The Lord Jesus says the same thing in John chapter 12. He says, "Yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He that walks in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light." And this is the blessing of God, that though Adam has put you in this condition that you are born blind, that God in His grace shines upon you and you are able to see. And I promise you that if you will accept the light that shines into your heart, revealing your sinful condition and the sinless condition of the Savior and His precious blood that will cleanse you from your sin, you will never be blind again. You will have the light of life. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And the light that He gives you now will never be taken away. And you can say, "I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." But until then, there are only periods when God in His grace shines upon you. And then you're able to see, even though you're blind. And then if you will not accept the light, then God withdraws His hand and blindness comes. That is why we must interpret what it says concerning God. God blinded their eyes. Let me ask you again. Why would God blind anybody's eyes who was already blind? You say, "Why, He wouldn't, I see." So here is God that is enabling a blind man to see, but light refused bringeth light. And when a man says no, then it says God blinds their eyes. How? Not by blinding them, but by simply withdrawing the light that He gives. And it says, "He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And you have the light of heaven illuminating your life. And if you will not have that light, then God withdraws the light. And then that is spoken of as God blinding a man's eyes. Why? He simply takes away a divine light. And when that light is taken away, the man returns to his natural state of blindness. And it says this also in the first epistle of John. It says, "Blindness Blindness is brought about by darkness. The darkness has blinded his eyes. Here is one who hates his brother. And it says when he hates his brother, the light of God is turned into darkness, and that darkness blinds his eyes. But the hope is this, that even though as that man that was born blind, at periods in our lives, God shines upon us. It says in John 1 that he lighted every man coming into the world. And some of us accept that light and some reject that light. And woe unto those who reject that light, because darkness overtakes us and we know not where we go. And if we know not where we go, Christ says, when blind people guide blind people, they both fall into the pit. And that is the pit from which no man can be lifted out. Not all your appeals to Abraham in heaven can get you out or can keep anybody else once they are there. Can never get keep anybody from going there, and once you're there, can never get anybody out. That is the pit into which men go. All right, let me give you some good news. I told you of blind guides. I'm so glad that the Scripture gives us three guides with eyes, with abundance of vision. And the very word that is used, guide, here, it speaks about blind guides. Let me tell you about those that have light, and these are the ones to whom you are to look. It says in John 16, the Savior said, I have many things to say to you. You cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. So I rejoice in this. I do not have to look to blind guides, because the Spirit of truth has come down at Pentecost. And now within the heart of every true believer, there is the Spirit of truth. And just as he guided the early disciples, so he guides every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says, we have an anointing. We have an unction from the Holy One. And we know all things. This anointing guides us as individuals, as well as the apostles. And the Lord Jesus said, he will guide you into all the truth. And that is the reason that so many people now that have sight continue to grope in darkness. Why? They're not guided by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, but by their own imagination. There is a way that seemeth right. I think it is my conjecture. Why? When the Savior can say, it is written. And that is what the Spirit of God does. He guides us into all the truth. The little germs of truth that Christ has given, the Spirit of God develops and guides into all the truth. Now, let me tell you another thing that's so beautiful. Because the Spirit of God, you say, well, how do I understand the guidance of the Spirit of God? It says in Acts chapter 8 that there is an Ethiopian eunuch riding along in his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah 53, and he can't make head nor tail of it. And the Spirit of God says to Philip, go, join that man. And when Philip goes and starts talking to him, he says, do you understand what you read? And the man says, how can I understand except someone guide me? And it says, Philip, beginning at that very scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Now this is a guide sent from God, who can tell you that the one who was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities was the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, God not only has the Spirit of truth within to guide you into all truth, but he has men and women, other human beings, who when you're in your need, he sends them to you. I trust that I'm here this morning. Why? Because you say, who can understand this scripture? How can I understand it except someone guide me? Christ has ascended on high, led captivity captive, and given gifts unto men. And he's given teachers, and those teachers are for us, as this teacher was for that Ethiopian eunuch. But now notice, the Spirit of God is given to guide us into all truth. But Philip was given to that Ethiopian eunuch to guide him to life that is in Christ. They're guides who can tell you the way to heaven. And there are guides, once you're on your way to heaven, who can tell you the proper path to take until you get there. Now, this is what is so beautiful. What about when you get to heaven? It says in Revelation chapter 7, it tells us about some that come out of the great tribulation, and the promise is this. It says they're not going to hunger anymore, they're not going to thirst anymore, the sun shall not strike upon them anymore, but it says the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall guide them to fountains of waters of life. Now, that's beautiful. If God put me in heaven and said, now get away, get around the best way you can, I would be lost. But the same Savior that was a shepherd on earth, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and who guides me now through the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, the Savior himself guides those in the next world. The Lamb that is in the midst of the throne, he shall guide them unto the waters, the fountain of the waters of life. And it says God shall wipe away every tear. So what does that mean? It means that when I am in nature's darkness, that God has someone who can guide me to the light that is Christ Jesus. And once I'm saved, God has someone who can guide me through this darkened world. And when I get to heaven, the same Savior that died for me on the cross is that shepherd that's waiting for me there. And the water that I've begun to drink here, I shall drink forever in heaven, because he can lead me to the fountains of the waters of life, and they will be exhausted. And you and I and all God's children have a shepherd now, and we shall have a shepherd when we get to heaven. And so he asked this question, can the blind guide the blind? Shall they not both fall into the pit? Yes. Well, it's unnecessary to have a blind guide. Choose one that has sight that will teach you this book, and then be among those who have guides in this life and in the life to come. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that in spite of all the darkness that is in us and in the world and in those round about us, there is still light in abundance. We are so glad, our Father, that your Son promised us that if we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We are glad the first time that light came, we didn't reject it, we received it. And we are thankful that it has been shining upon our path all the way. And when we get to heaven, it shan't stop shining there, but it shall shine more brightly. And then we shall look upon that shepherd, that good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. And he shall continue to shepherd us and take us to green pastures and still waters and fountains of waters that shall refresh our souls. We thank you for the prospect, our Father, that lies before us. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.